Welcome to the FishExplorer.com's Fly Fishing Podcast. This is a show where we talk about everything from how to fish, where to fish, what to fish for, and whatever else we want to talk about. We will talk to the legends of fishing, guides, fishermen, and anybody else who wants to talk fishing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Good morning, evening, afternoon, everybody out there in Fish Explorer Land. This is Tim Fishman Emery. You are on the fishing podcast here at FishExplorer.com. If you're just finding us on the World Wide Web, you can check us out at www.FishExplorer.com. We are your number one resource for fishing information in Colorado and more fishing information for how to, where to, when to, and all that good stuff. This week's podcast is really a pleasure for me. It's a special treat. I have a new guest that I haven't really got to know yet, but I'm looking forward to getting to know her in the near future, because anybody in the fly fishing industry knows the more women that we have involved in the sport, the better. And the more women we have in fishing is better. This guest of mine is Nicole Darland. She is out of Washington State, which means she probably sits in icy cold water and fishes for steelhead and loves the tug a lot, which I do not do a lot of. But Nicole, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you very much. And I just have to tell you, all those people out there that think that everybody from the Northwest steelheads, I have to just speak and keep this totally real, and that is, I have yet to steelhead out here. And so we can talk about that and maybe why and whatnot, but so don't turn off your podcast quite yet just because of that. But yeah, that's something that's on the list, and it's going to probably happen this year. So.
Well, you know what? I have to admit, and people get on me every time I tell them this, I don't really have any desire to steelhead. Looks cold.
Yep.
It looks long. It looks hard, and you know, I do everything else. But I think if I had the choice to steelhead or to go chase tarpon in Florida, I'm going to go chase tarpon in Florida.
Yeah, see, everybody has their deal. Here, I mean, in a nutshell, the whole cold thing, yeah. And I am a girl, and somehow I always tend to just freeze. And so that's probably one of the things that's kept me out of the steelhead waters. But frankly, I can't even boast about doing a lot of trout fishing around here where I live, because honestly, most of my fishing takes place either out of this state or out of the country, and that's just kind of my fly fishing history, and so it's not anything to be ashamed of, it's just how it is. So
right now you have a company called Exclusive Expeditions, so you lead people on trips that most of us out there in the fishing world only dream of. Tell us a little bit more about Exclusive Expeditions and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, so basically what we do is the focus really so far has been mostly on South America, and just in brief, the connection there is that my family actually has two incredible trout fishing lodges down in southern Chile, and that's when I started going to South America. And then some years later, after really getting more into fly fishing and just loving it so much, I started this company to share that opportunity with other people. So I don't necessarily lead all the trips. I actually don't lead a lot of them, because there are too many people with too many different schedules than I have. And so I arrange really incredible trips to South America, be it Chile, Argentina, Bolivia, Peru. And some of my guests fly fish. Some of them don't. And some of them travel together as angler and non-angling companions. So what we do is we put together great trips for everyone to feel like they're part of that vacation. And even some novice anglers and people who aren't so sure they'll like it go on these trips. And maybe the fishing is only a very small portion of the trip, but I can actually say that we've created some new anglers for this sport out of some of these trips.
That sounds amazing. I know the first question when people said, you know, you fly fish, your family has lodges down there. Are you married or are you single? Am I allowed to ask that? Okay.
You're allowed to ask that. It's am I going to answer? Yeah. No, I am. I am single. And actually, there was a year that I went. I fished a lot with my dad. And we were at a lodge up in Alaska one year, and he looked at me one day and he said, "God, if single girls had any idea, they would learn how to fly fish and they would go to these lodges because they are just such amazing people that do this sport." So,
well, it is an amazing thing because my wife figured it out and ended up marrying me. Her best friend married a guide, and the only reason I probably got married is because of her best friend married a guide. So my wife and her crew figured it out. Now, 5 years later and 2 kids later, they're having questions about what they did, but.
But it worked out really good for you.
It worked out great for me, but she's kind of like, "You're still fishing? Come on, we got to find something else."
Yeah, I think my mom's not super into fishing. Well, gosh, I have to say she's really not into it at all. She loves seeing what I do and all that, but when she and my dad met, she did go on some of his outings, and she learned how to shoot, and they would go wing shooting and skeet shooting, and and then once they had kids, she just kind of backed out of that whole game. So I think it was a little bit of the fake out.
I think that's what we got to. let's get. I think we got to get back on focus here. Hey, so the main reason we're talking is because you're coming to Denver in January for the International Sportsman's Expo, and you're going to be a speaker there and a presenter. And I believe is the title of your presentation, "Where in the World is Nicole?"
Yeah, I guess that's what we're going with for right now, and I just have to kind of give a little disclaimer there. It's not that people really care where I am in the world, but the idea is that there really aren't a lot of women, and I've seen this from doing plenty of these trade shows, that there aren't a lot of women that do the presenting or do these talks, and that's, as you mentioned before, just because there's definitely a smaller number of us in this industry and doing this sport, but I think it is interesting in tying it back to, you know, the things that I've done as a woman, but in this sport and loving this sport. But the fact that I actually like being a chick. I don't want to be a guy. I'm not one of these like guyish girls. And I think anybody that knows me would say the same thing. And I think that's why it's surprising. And I think that's why for guys like you who have 3-month-old daughters, or they have granddaughters, or they have nieces, or sisters or whatever, that they want to get into this sport and they don't really have that kind of bridge to get them into it, that the idea is that, you know, people can look at me and go, "Wow, that girl likes to wear, you know, designer jeans or stiletto heels, or she wears makeup and she doesn't, you know, walk around as a total tomboy, even though I can go out and be in the woods and do all that stuff." It's interesting to other people, and it throws people sort of off guard that somebody like me would enjoy a sport like this. And it's cool because it kind of breaks down the stereotype of some of those things that people picture as you have to be like, or, well, everybody that does it looks like this or is like this and whatnot. You know, fly fishing is something that I do. It's not who I am. And I love it, and I wish that lots of guys, but also lots of women and girls and little girls will see that it can be super cool to do this, and you don't have to lose your femininity just because of it. So
that's some great points. You know, I know there are a lot of women out there because I talk to them, and I've taught a lot of women and guided a lot of women that kind of get it but don't get it. And I think one of the problems is that it seems like their dads or their families were such pushers of it, and they didn't make the girls enjoy it. And maybe that's part of the problem. How did your dad and your family get you to this level of sport that made you like it?
Yeah, I think about this actually a lot, and I think the further away from my childhood I get, the harder it is to kind of distinguish what it was specifically that got me into this. But I know growing up here in the Northwest, I mean, I'm born and raised in Bellevue, Washington. I still live here. I remember, and I have pictures to prove, and I'll probably put some of those into the presentation, but when I was just tiny, just still in diapers, going boating and being out on the water and always going to the San Juans, and it's not that I grew up fly fishing, because I didn't. We went crabbing, and we went, and would dig clams on the beach, and we would fish for salmon in the San Juans, and we'd go up there every summer, and we had some property up in the Skagit Valley, and my grandparents had a farm. I spent a lot of time up there, so, you know, there's pictures of me fishing the Skagit when I was a little kid, but I love the water, and I love the outdoors, just the beauty of it and all that, and really I have to say that even though I did that stuff as a really, really little kid, my real true first memories of, or, you know, my youngest memory of having a really great fishing trip was actually when I was about 13 or 14, and my dad took me on a trip up to Campbell River in B.C., where he'd caught huge Tyee salmon before, and we stayed at April Point Lodge, and I still remember the name of the guide, Rob Bell Irving. He was a famous salmon guide up there, and we went and caught salmon on gear. And I know my mom said, you know, Mike, she just goes up there just to make you happy and goes fishing with you just to make you happy. And he said, I'm sorry, but if you look at the photos and you look at the smile and this girl is waking up at 4 a.m. excited to go out, that's not just to make me happy. And I remember that because it was such a fun trip. And I just kind of, I love being with my dad, and I love just kind of being out there and doing it and the adrenaline of it, and also those peaceful moments and just beautiful moments, you know. I think that's kind of my jumping off point, and from then I just love to go fishing.
So,
and I guess I would – oh, go ahead.
So during your teenage years, because I think that's where a lot of the disconnect happens, because the teenage years are freaking me out about my kids that I'm not going to be able to keep them under control. But the teenage year seems to be that time where kids diverge and get away from the fishing and away from the outdoors. Did you stick with it? Were you part of that whole thing during your teenage years, or did you come back to it?
Well, you know, I am one of those people that if you asked people who knew me when I was growing up right now, and if they didn't know anything about the fishing, they'd ask me about my music and my singing and my performing, because that's what I was known for here. Mm-hmm. And actually people that know me now that knew me then wonder how and when it was that I went so far into fishing, because they didn't have a clue. And so I guess what I'd say is that it's not that I just felt like I had to go on a fishing trip every other second, because frankly, I still don't feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just something that I enjoyed doing. And because I think that there's a semi-disconnect with thinking that if you're into fishing, you have to be a fanatic about it.
Right.
But frankly, the way that I guess I looked at it then and I look at it now is that, again, fishing is something I do. It's not who I am. So it was one of the things that I really enjoyed doing. It's not that I had to be doing it every second of the day, or that every single trip had to be centralized around fishing and all that. It's that if the opportunity came up, sure, I would go and do it, because I got to be outdoors and I got to do all the other things that are incorporated with what it means to me to go fishing. And I think that's probably personal for anybody that does it. You know, some people love to do it because they just love to catch fish. Some people love to do it because they love the peacefulness of the water. Some people love to do it because of everything else they see while they're out there. Some, you know, everybody has their own reasons why they do it, or they can enjoy a beer with their buddy, or whatever it is. For me, it's just one of the things that I just enjoyed doing. So I can't say that I was a teenager that was gung-ho on fishing, but I can say that when and if the opportunity came up, I totally would go. So
that's great. So for a guy with a 3-month-old daughter and a bunch of guys out there that have young girls, what's mm-hmm. one piece of advice you would give us as dads about how to get kids into fishing and how to get our daughters into fishing?
I would let them see your passion about it, And rather than forcing them into that, them, show them and teach them. I mean, just talking to you right now, I'm just having memories of when I first was cleaning fish when I was younger, cleaning salmon, and watching my dad do that and then doing it myself. And for someone like me who is actually pretty squeamish about certain things, like tell me a story about how you fell down and cut your leg open, I don't really want to hear it. But that was kind of a cool deal. And I also didn't like biology where you dissect frogs and all that stuff. But for some reason, the whole deal about understanding where I was and that was relevant to me and all that kind of probably made it more personal to me. And I will say this, you know, it's I also truly just don't believe that everybody's going to like it. Mm-hmm. But I do think the younger that you begin at anything, the easier it is to get a liking to it or to come into understanding it and liking it and appreciating it more. I have two brothers, a younger and an older brother, and they are by no means as interested in fishing as I am. My older brother could have nothing to do with it, and he'd be totally fine. And my younger brother, you know, he can do it, great, loves it, but it's not anywhere probably on the top 15 things of that he loves to do. So I just did it from a young age. I watched my dad, and frankly, you got to play into the fact that dads and daughters have special relationships anyway, and there's just a different kind of bond there. And if a daughter really can look at you and know that you're not going to force her into doing something, but you show her and want to share it with her, I think that that's the deal. Don't make them into a boy, for
right.
sure.
Right.
Let them be the girl doing it. And I say that also in... I mean, I love to hold fish, you know, I hold them all the time and I take the flies out of their mouth and I do all of that stuff. So I get in there and I get dirty and I can go to the bathroom in the woods. I can do all that stuff, but my dad never turned me into a boy.
Right.
Ever.
That's great. So. Good deal. So ISE, you're giving a presentation about every day, if I remember the schedule right. And is it going to be focused on women, or is it going to be focused more on where you're going to be, kind of the adventure end of it?
What I'm going to do is I will just let people know a little bit about myself first. But basically, the meat and potatoes of the presentation will be some of the places and the different places that I've gone, because the basic message that I want to convey beyond, you know, you can be a gal and you can fish and is that there are so many stereotypes about who the fly fisherman is, even when it comes to the male fly fisherman. Like, you've got to have a lot of money. You've got to have a lot of equipment. You have to go to faraway places. All that. All of that stuff is just, or you got to be a guy in a tweed hat and all that. Those are true stereotypes that are really out there. And this presentation will basically show you some of my favorite places. A bunch of them will actually be in South America because, again, that's where I've done the bulk of my fly fishing. But some of them will be in Europe. Some of them will be around the States. And it'll show different species and different waters and different places where you can use different tactics and techniques and different gear and just kind of give people – an idea that there are some places that are kind of more built for the more expert or the more adventuresome person, or some places that a novice can go and do awesome. So that's kind of the deal. I would love this to be a very inclusive sport, much more so than it comes off as, I think, currently. And that is kind of, for me, within this industry, instead of just being this person who loves to fish, you know, the message I love to carry is that, you know, to women, obviously, but also to guys, you can do this and have it be a place that, or have it be a sport where, you know, people go on a trip and they take their tennis racket, or maybe they take their golf clubs because they're going to golf for like a day or two or something of their week-long trip. I want people to think about fly fishing in the same way as that. You can go somewhere, go hiking, go have great food, or go camping, go do whatever, and throw in your fly rod and take it with you so that if the chance comes up, you have it there and you can do it.
So. That's great and perfect, because my wife, every time we go anywhere, she knows my fly rod's in there, because there's water everywhere and there's fish everywhere, and you never know.
Exactly.
And the hotel pond out in front has fish in it, so why not fish it?
Exactly. Exactly. So. I think there's some stat, and I probably am quoting this more incorrectly than correctly, but I think there's a stat that within every large metropolitan area, there's a bass fishery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why bass fishing is so huge. But the other thing is people don't even, I mean, again, stereotypes, but you can fish for anything with a fly rod. Anything.
Yep. Yep.
It doesn't have to be a trout. It doesn't have to be a sea trout. It doesn't have to be a steelhead. It's anything. And actually that's what the show that I co-host is about as well. You
mm-hmm.
don't have to go a million miles away, even though some of us do, because that's just how it goes. You can go probably 10 minutes from your house and find something to throw a fly on, you know, or in.
Yep, yep. Well, you'll notice the mantra of Fish Explorer is any fish, anytime, anywhere. And that's what we do. And, you know, we are predominantly a conventional tackle fishery and website, but we have a lot of fly fishermen, and our goal is to really fish wherever we can. And you'll get to know that as you get to know us, and the people on the site have really started to embrace that. And all the conventional guys wanted to carry fly rods with them and learn how to fly fish and be able to do it all. And that's our goal. And I think that's where the growth of this industry of fly fishing is to get us to realize that we can fish anywhere, anytime, any place that anybody else can. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, cool.
Hey, Nicole, so we're about out of time. I could actually talk to you for about another 20, 50, 60 hours, and we could talk all day, and it would be easy, but I've got to kind of limit this. So we're going to run out of time. Tell us, where can people get more information about you and how to get a hold of you if they've got questions, if they want to take a trip to South America or wherever you're going? What's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that is on my website, exclusiveexpeditions.com. Both of those words start with X's, but you can misspell it a million ways. So exclusiveexpeditions.com. You can email info@exclusiveexpeditions.com. And I'm on Facebook. If you Google my name, probably my Facebook page, Nicole Darlin, comes up. And I'm on Twitter and all that stuff. So that, and hopefully they'll tune into Fly Fisherman or pick up the new DVD.
Mm-hmm.
If they're, and I will just plug that just in the fact that the season one that we did is, it's fully in, this is an instructional series. So literally season one from the first episode starts with gearing up and goes through all of the basics through 13 episodes of fly tying, basic cast, basic knots, things like that. And it's been really fantastic, and people have really enjoyed it. And we've gotten a lot of letters and emails about how it's improved their game and gotten them better at what they're doing. So if they are new out there and they are into conventional, traditional tackle, I would highly recommend checking that out.
Okay. Well, Nicole, and I think we talked about this last time we talked on the show, and hopefully we can get you over to our booth for a little meet and greet at ISE, and we'll have that up on our website if we can make this happen, that time for you to come over, say hi. People can come talk to you and see you just for an hour or so, a couple days, and hopefully that'll happen. And we appreciate your time. And we will catch up to you, and whatever we can do to help you guys out, let us know, and make sure everybody watch Fly Fisherman on the Sportsman's Channel, and hopefully we get to fish together sometime soon.
Yeah, I hope so, and thanks so much for having me, and yeah, I hope everybody comes out to the show and brings their little kids, boys and girls, because that's the future of this sport, for sure.
You're exactly right. Nicole, we appreciate it. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
This podcast has been brought to you in part by Discount Fishing Tackle. They've got a sale going on to December 15th, so go check them out. Nicole Darden is, and I didn't know her before this podcast went on, but she is one of those girls in the fly fishing industry that really is taking it seriously and is going to help us raise fishing to the next level. And if you haven't seen her TV show or seen her articles or anything else like that, you definitely need to go check her out, because if this was 6, 7, 8 years ago, things I would probably be swooning after her and in a lot of trouble trying to make myself look cool in her eyes. But she is a great gal, and she's going to be at ISE, so go check that out. Hey, fishing right now, the tailwaters are still fishing. It is that time of year that the ice is out there and people are all over the place. And one thing I've been talking about with Terry Wickstrom and Chad LaChance and a lot of other people right now is fishing flies through the ice. I think it's a cool concept for us to try as fly fishermen, so get out there, go do it. Let me know how that goes, because I think it's definitely one of those cool things. Lots of ice fishing tournaments going on. I'd love to see somebody come back and win one of those tournaments, fishing flies. That would be really a cool thing to hear about and see. Like we said, ISE coming up, so get ready for that. It's going to be cool. We are going to do Friday Night Bites. We are going to do all kinds of great stuff. WFN, World Fishing Network, is going to be a big part of that, so you'll have to come check us out. And there are going to be two panels, the Fly Fishing Denver panel, which I will host, and the Carp Fishing panel. So be on the lookout for those. All kinds of great stuff going on Fish Explorer coming up here this winter, so make sure you stay tuned. And, of course, as always, make sure you get out there and go fishing.